Today's date is May 18th, 2011. Dr. Henderson, would you state your full name, please, your date of birth, and your present age?
George Henderson, date of birth, June 18th, 1932, and I am now 78.
Where are we recording this interview?
In the conference room of the Department of Human Relations at the University of Oklahoma.
Tell us where you were born.
I was born in Hertzboro, Alabama. According to my mother, it was a glorious event.
Were you first born?
I was the only born for my mother and father.
Your mother's name?
My mother is Lula Mae Crawford, who married Kid Large Henderson. So the Crawfords and the Henderson in Hertzboro, Alabama started a dynasty.
Your father, what did he do?
They were sharecroppers.
Tell us what a sharecropper is.
Sharecroppers are individuals who rent property and farm and try to earn a living that way. The proceeds, they split between the owners of the property and themselves. Usually the owner of the property got most of the monies. For the sharecropping, that meant that they got a shack to live in, credit at the store that was owned usually by owners of the land, which meant that the debt was never paid off. And my father was very discouraged by the fact that he would work all summer and prepare all winter and still end up poor.
So there was no way he'd ever overcome that hurdle, apparently.
There was absolutely no way. In fact, he projected that if he worked to be 100 years old, he would still owe the owner of the land money. And then the debt would be passed on to me because I would have the obligation of paying his debt. He told me that years later, and I'm glad that he made the decision to leave, because I didn't look forward to paying his debt.
Education of your parents?
Less than seventh grade education. Dropped out of school for obvious reasons. If you're taking care of crops and trying to maintain some semblance of farming, you simply don't have time to go to school.
You said a shack to live in. Do you remember the shack?
Yes, I do, because my mother had pictures of it. It was a very small wooden shelter. You had three generations of us living in a two-bedroom place. My parents, me, and my father's parents. That was not a very good situation to live in, but it was a wonderful situation, I've been told, for a child to grow up in, because I had adults very close, and they were very touchable, and they loved me very much.
You probably had, for facilities, no plumbing, but outdoors.
Outdoors. We had an outdoor toilet, really. And my mother said that I enjoyed playing with the chickens, because the chickens would follow me all over wherever I would go. I even took them into the privy. My mother stopped that habit. She said, that wasn't very good. After all, we're going to eat those chickens one day.
The kind of crops, was it cotton, or do you remember?
Cotton. My mother described very vividly. She would wake up in the morning, and she would take me with her when I was old enough to be carried, and she would pick cotton. Didn't have a mule, incidentally. So, in essence, she served as a mule and a picker.
And that's terribly tough work, isn't it, picking cotton?
Yes, indeed it was.
Did you have to pick?
No. I left before I was 7 years of age. But my mother described all of this to me. She did not ever want me to grow up to be like them. She said, there has to be more in life than picking cotton.
She probably saw education then as your way out.
The only way out. Our farm, I call it a farm, actually our little plot of land, was several miles away from a place called Tuskegee Institute. And my mother remembered going to Tuskegee and seeing the well-dressed, well-educated young men and young women. And she said to herself, she told me over and over and over again, this is where I want my child to grow up and go to, the Tuskegee Institute. She brainwashed me. Let me describe that situation, if I may. When I was old enough to request dessert after dinner, my mother would ask me, now, what are you going to be when you grow up, baby, and what are you going to do? Oh, I would say nonsensical things, and I didn't get dessert. Then I realized I had to tell my mother I was going to Tuskegee. Well, my mother could have worked as an interrogator for the CIA. She was good at it. She never knew what a college was, but she did know that that place she saw those young men and women going in and out of was an opportunity, the only opportunity that she perceived for me to better myself and my family.
Yeah. So you did move to Indiana?
My father was run out of Hertzboro by the Ku Klux Klan.
Do you know any more about that?
Yes,
detail?
I know about the details. He explained them to me. And the norm in that community, as most other southern communities, is that the white people had the privilege of walking on the plank when it was raining so that they would remain relatively dry, the wooden planks. It wasn't a sidewalk. It was a plank walk, really. One day my father decided that he wasn't going to yield a plank to a white male. He was just tired of walking in the mud. So my father, being my father, decided that he would claim his portion of the plank for himself, and he knocked a white male into the mud. Well, you can probably guess what was going to happen to him. Ironies of all ironies, my father was a black mason. A white mason came to our shack and said, "Kid, you better get out of here, because later tonight we're coming to lynch you." A white mason extended a courtesy to a black mason and saved my family. My father didn't tell me that part of it until after I was grown. I grew up hating white people because, as he told half of the story, because of white people, we had to leave our home. And I hated white people. I hated them with a passion.
Did you leave in the dark of night? Or did
yes.
Now, you remember this part.
My mother told me that part. My father told me that part. They told me separately the stories. I guess they had to tell. They wanted to unburden themselves of why we were living in East Chicago and not Hertzboro. They gathered everything that they could in two suitcases and paper sacks and got a ride from some friends to a bus station. And from the bus station, we then traveled to East Chicago, Indiana, where my mother had relatives and my father had some relatives. We lived with my mother's eldest sister until they could find a place of their own. That situation was interesting because I had, in that household, my two first cousins, my aunt, my uncle, my mother, my father, and me. One bedroom. Well, guess what? They converted part of a kitchen into another bedroom for my mother. That meant that George Henderson and his two cousins, two males and a female, slept in what was the equivalent of the living room. It was really a pull-out bed. My cousin, Kate, had her own separate cot, and Robert, my first cousin, and I had the large pull-out. That was not a good situation, obviously. The first toilet that I remember in that place, and I will always remember that one, was a separate room with a hole in the floor. That was our bathroom. We used newspaper because we couldn't afford toilet paper on a regular basis. So we used newspaper. We did what we had to do and then wiped ourselves with newspaper. That was my first toilet. I still remember taking a bath in those 10 tubs. You don't want to be the last person taking a bath in a 10 tub. The water's cold, it's dirty, and, it's just not a good situation. Well, I usually ended up the last person in the 10 tub. You also have to clean it out if you're the last person. I think about those years, and I say to myself, that was horrible, but it wasn't because I was with my cousins, I was with my relatives, and as far as I knew, everybody lived like that. The norm was poverty in my community, but I was happy. My mother and her sister cooked on a stove, a wood stove, in fact. Some of the best food that I've ever eaten in my life was cooked on that wood stove. Family for us was very important. We laughed, we joked. My cousin and I made our own games. We played cowboys and Indians. The irony there is that we always wanted to be the cowboys. And we didn't see the irony of the situation. And here we were, black boys, wanting to be cowboys. Well, if I'd known about the Buffalo Soldiers and the other things, perhaps I would want to be the Indians.
Right.
But I just didn't know.